Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Nun Ches, and we are 12 lines from the top of daf Nun Zayin Amid Beis, Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbeinu. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu Bnei Yisrael Hanesunu Batzar Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Chaim Ben Meir. So we're moving along at the very, very end of Perek Cheskas Habatim. We are, interestingly, the Gemara actually goes back to where the Masechta began and discusses halachos that really were Perek Hashutvin. So this is in many ways where Cheskas Habatim means meets Hashutvin. Either way, the Gemara was discussing different laws where if you have two partners in a chotzer, one shutif can be ma'akiv the other shutif from doing things that are somewhat disruptive. So the Gemara says as follows: Om Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbeinu. Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbeinu, Bakol shutfin ma'akvin ze'eze. A shutif has the ability to be ma'akiv another shutif with regards to anything that would make him uncomfortable, chutz min akfisa, with the exception of washing clothing. Meaning, even though if someone is going to wash clothing in a chatzer, it's going to make a big mess. Thus, one of the shutfim may feel compelled to tell the other shutif, would you please do it in the Rosh Hashanah and maybe do it somewhere else. And really, the shutif has a right to be ma'akiv his shutif for things like this. But when it comes to kfisa, he can't. And the reason is because who did the wash? It was the women. And ain't darkun shel b'nos Yisrael lehispazlis ala kfisa. When a woman would bathe or wash her clothing, so inevitably she would be in a compromised position from a tzniyus perspective. And to ask her to go do it in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is ain't lefi chvoida, kol kfuda bas melech penima. And it's for that reason, although ordinarily based on the regular laws of shutfin, bakol shutfin ma'akvin zeh, there is one exception. And that is kfisa. So the Gemara now is going to digress for a moment. So we mentioned this idea that when the women did kfisa, so they were nizbaza, they were embarrassed. So says the Gemara, va'oitzim einav mirois bira. So this is a pasuk, an excerpt of a pasuk in Yeshaya Perek Lamed Gimel, where Yeshaya is talking about different madrigas that people have. Said, Rabchi Barabo, what is this referring to, this particular pasuk? It's talking about someone who is passing by women that are they're doing the wash and they're in this compromised position. If a person doesn't look at the Noshim during that time, that's a madrega, and that's what Yeshaya Navi was referring to when he said, Va'oitzem Einav Merois Bera. But the Gemara says, Hey Chidami, I want to understand this a little bit better. This person that's passing by the women that are Oimdois Ala Kvisa, who's being a Gibor, HaKadosh Es Yitzroi, and he's not looking at something he's not supposed to look at. What is the rest of the story? Did this person have another option? Meaning, was he able to maybe get to where he wanted to get, taking another road, where he wouldn't even have to pass these women? Well, if that's the case, Rasha who? Then this person's a Rasha. Zokti Rashbam. Even if the person is Miskaber on his Yetzirah, and he doesn't look, he's an Oitzim Ein of Mirah Oispira, but he's not about Madrega, just from the mere fact that he put himself in a situation of Nesoyin, that makes him a Rasha. And either Lekadar Kachina, and if you're going to tell me that the Pasuk's talking about where this person had no other way of going, Anusu. Well, what do you mean he's not looking? He's an Anus, by definition. If there's no Dar Kachina, you have to look when you're on the road, you have to know where you're going, so then he should be an Oinus. So the Gemara says, I don't understand this madrega, this level of chasidus of oitzem einav mira oispera. Mamon of shach. If there's a dark achrina and he's going this way anyways, he's not a rasha. And if there's no dark achrina, then how's he not going to look? So the Gemara says a posh to the teretz. It's talking about where there was really no other way for him to go. Vafilu hachi, stating that mi boyele lemenas navshe, was incumbent upon this person to try to force himself to maybe not look, meaning really he's going on a road that he has no choice to go. And he has to be focused. He can't be looking down. He can't close his eyes. But at the same time, there is still a spectrum, and he still doesn't necessarily have to look more than he has to look. And there's an idea, miboyle lemena snafshe, and if a person does that, might not be easy. That's this madrega that Yeshaya Navi was referring to. Either way, we're going to get back to this Gemara at the end of the shir. But for now, we mentioned something that Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbana, and from here until the end of the daf, literally the Mishnah on daf Nun Ches on the days, the Gemara is going to digress, and the Gemara is going to say other things that Rabbana said, other exchanges between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbana. Zok to Gemara. Boy mine Rabbi Yochanan Rabbana. All I gathered, by the way. Chaluk shel Talmud Chacham Ketzat. Rabbi Yochanan asked Rabbana the following question. What should the chaluk, the tunic in English, of the Talmud Chacham look like? So he responded, "Kol she'im b'sara nirim mitachtav." It should be very long for tznius purposes. How long? You should not be able to see his basar, his skin, on the bottom of it. Meaning, it should go literally all the way to the ground. Talus shel tamid chacham keitzad. So the talus was worn above this tunic. So he asked him, "How long should the talus be?" So he said, "Kol she'im chalukay nirim mitachtav tefach." So the talus went on top of the chaluk. Thus, it didn't have to go all the way down to the ground, and the reason is because the person's basar was being covered anyways by the chaluk. So how far down does it have to go? As long as you can't see a tefach of the chaluk on the bottom, that would be considered long enough. Shulchan shel Talmud Chacham Ketzad. What should the shulchan of a Talmud Chacham look like? So you told him, Shnei Shlishi Gedil, Veshlish Galoy. So the Rashbam says that the visual is that the way people used to eat is they would eat on a long rectangular table. Now the Talmid Chachamim, everybody would sit along one side of the table, and they're all sitting side by side, and the food is obviously being served. Now the two thirds that were in front of them, that part was covered. Shnei Shlishi Gdil was covered by something woven, Gild Milosh and Gedilim Tasavach. And the last third, the third that was farthest away from them, Galoy, that part was exposed. Now the two thirds that were closest to them, that's where they ate. What about the one third that was exposed? The olav, it was on that third, ka'arois, there were plates, v'yerek, and vegetables, and that's where all the food was. So the area that the food was actually not covered. And the reason it wasn't covered is because if you're going to put some fabric underneath it, the oils and everything is going to spill, it's going to make a big mess. So where the oilam was eating, that was covered, because they're eating there. But the area where the food was, like the smorgasbord stations, so that area was not covered. Now these tables had a ring attached to them. The reason they had a ring attached to them, the Rashbam says, is because when you finish using the table, you would fold it up and you would hang it up. So it had a ring, pasha, you should be able to hang it. So where was that tabas? It was mibachot. It was on the outside part of the table, meaning not on the side of the table where the oilam was sitting, but rather on the other side. Freit the Gemara, Zatru Batani, we learned to the Brais, that the tabas was not on the outside, but it was to the inside. It was actually where the oilam was. So the Gemara is going to say a few terusim. Number one, like Kasha, you could say, Hada Iki Yanuka, Hada Laki Yanuka. One is talking about where there were children sitting on the table. The other is talking about where there were no children on the table. If there's no children on the table, then you'd rather the tabas be to the outside, right? Because you're sitting and the tabas is going to get in the way. It's a shtickle uncomfortable. But if there's children sitting and the tabas is there, so then the tabas is going to maybe be something that they're going to play with. So depending on whether there was a child there or there was no child there, that determined whether it was mibafnim or whether it was machos fiba, or you could say hava hada lucky nuka. Maybe both prices are talking about where there were no children. Okay, so what does it depend on if the tabas is on the inside where the oilam is sitting, or whether it's on the outside? One is talking about where there was a shamish, there was a waiter. The other is talking about where there's no waiter. If there was a waiter, you didn't want it to be on the outside, because that's where the waiter was, and you didn't want him to bump into it. So if there's a no waiter, then it could be on the outside. If there is a waiter, then you put it on the inside. Iba, you say, Mahava Haba Ikushama, could be they're both talking about whether it was a waiter, but like Kasha, Hambiya Mama Habalalia. One's talking about during the day, and the other one's talking at night. Meaning, during the day, the waiter could see this tabas, and you're not concerned that he's going to bump into it. At night, he's not going to see it. That's where you have this concern. Either way, this is what the shulchan of the Talmud Chacham looked like. V'shalam Ma'aretz, what did the shulchan of the Am Ha'aretz look like? Doima l'medura, that looked like a medura. So a medura is like a bonfire. U'kideirois makifaisoisa, and there were pots that were surrounding it. Okay, so there, what they would do is they would put the food in the middle. What did they put? Which food? The lechem, the Rashbam says. The bread was in the middle, and all the dips and all the other foods were surrounding it. Okay, so we discussed the beged of a Talmud Chacham, and we discussed the shulchan of a Talmud Chacham. What about mita shel Talmid Chacham? What about the bed of Talmid Chacham? Ketzad kol she'ein tachteh el sandalim b'moisach chama u'menalim b'moisach shama. The only things that are in the bed of a Talmud Chacham or underneath the bed are his shoes. So he has his shoes there. So during the summer, it's the sandalim. During the winter, it's his menalim. But all there are his shoes. Amoritz? What about underneath the bed of an Amoritz? Doima lo oitzer balos. He has his whole life there. He has his pantry there. He has all his food there. Everything would be underneath the bed of an Amoritz. So just a few things. Not raid, just pasha. Number one, you see that there's an idea that the clothing of a Talmud Chacham looked a certain way. The shulchan of a Talmud Chacham was set a certain way. The bed of a Talmud Chacham was a certain way. And this is in line with the idea that the Talmud Chacham had a firzach. He had to conduct himself differently than the way regular people conducted themselves. We spoke at a raid bite once upon a time from Rav Reuven Margolis. It's in his Sefer Mechkarim Bedarkei HaTalmud. It's called Talboishes Talmud Chacham. The dress code, the wardrobe of a Talmud Chacham. And he talks in detail about different nuances that related to the wardrobe of a Talmud Chacham. But a Talmud Chacham was a different metzias. And it was understood that every part of even his basic everyday life was going to be distinct. Now, one of the things that were mentioned was the bed of the Talmud Chacham. So underneath the bed of the Talmud Chacham, all you're going to find is a pair of shoes. Underneath the bed of the Am Ha'aretz, it's an Oitzer Bolus. He has literally all his food. Rashbam is Metzayin a Gemara in Perek Avri Psachim, Psachim Daf Kufyud Beis Amar Aleph, that says that really, if a person leaves food underneath his bed, you're not supposed to eat the food the next day. And the reason is because there's a Ruach Ra, that's Shoira, and it becomes Tomei on some level, and it's for that reason that you're not supposed to eat it. Zok the Rashbam, that the reason the Talmud Chacham doesn't have food, Al Koponim, underneath his bed, is based on that Gemara in Arvei Psachim, because Oichlin tachas amito, Loshan HaGemara is afilu mechupim bekli barzel, even if it's covered with metal, ruach ra shayra aleim, there's a ruach ra that shayra on it. It's interesting, the Torah Schayim, right here on this Gemara says, what's pshat? Where does that ruach ra come from? So he says pashat, the Gemara says in Masechtas Brachos, that sleep is 1/60th of death, which means that when a person sleeps at night, he becomes somewhat tomei tomas meis. Now we know tomas meis is very unique, that it's metama, afilu ba'oil. So, being that there's an element of Tomas Meis, on some level he's a Meis, and a Meis is Metama ba'oil, so anything that's underneath the bed is technically underneath the oil, Hameis, and as a result, it's going to be Tomei. Now, this is also a raid bite that we've spoken about more than once over the years, once in Arvei Psachim, and once here in Cheskes Habatim, in the last cycle, pun intended, and that is that the Shvus Yaakov has a tshuva where he was asked, now why is it that it's okay to buy food from in Am Ha'aretz. So we know that people that were Nizar in Trumas and Tyres, people that were Nizar in Binyanei Shvius, they wouldn't buy food from an Am Ha'aretz. And the reason they wouldn't buy food from an Am Ha'aretz is because they were Choshed. And as a result, there's a Parsha of Demai. So the Shus Yaakov was asked, a bomb kasha. He says, I don't understand. If the Gemara says that Oichlan Tachas Amita Filo Mechupim Bekli Barzel, Ruach Ra Shoira Aleyem, and the Gemara says that, what is the bottom of the bed of the Amoritz look like? It's a balos. It looks like a mini supermarket. Well, if that's the case, how could you buy food from an Amoritz? There should always be a chashash, like the Mai. There should be a chashash that maybe there's a ruach ra that shayra on it, and as a result, the prushim al koponim, the chaverim, the people that were nizer in these things, why were they not nizer in this? It's a big kasha, ayin bereid bites. Either way, zok the gemara. And this next gemara is a classic ben benoishal classic. Rabbanah, so again, this is all on the topic of Rabbanah. He has a whole daf and shas dedicated to him. Have a kometzayin marasa. So he was Oisek in identifying different crypts, different graves. So Kayin's not allowed to be metame to a mace. Once upon a time, it was super important in the world of Kachim and Tyrus to know if there's a mace buried, like what exactly the dimensions and the parameters are. So Rabbanah, he was Oisek Abim Mitzayim Maros. He'd go around to these different graves and he would make a tzion. It's like this, the Kehanim knew to stay away from it. Okay, so he's working in Eretz Yisrael and he's going from Ma'ara to Ma'ara, Kimata L'Maros Ad Avraham. When he came to the Ma'ara of Avraham Avinu, Ashkechel Elias Eved Avraham Dekoy Kamibava, he saw Elias Eved Avraham who was standing by the door. So, what's the Ma'ar of Avraham Avinu? That's Ma'aras HaMachpelah. And he comes and he sees Avraham Avinu is almost like standing guard in front of the Ma'aras HaMachpelah. Amalei. So Rabbanah turns to Eliezer Avid Avraham and he tells him, my covet Avraham, tell me, what's Avraham Avinu doing right now? Amalei. So he told him, Gani Bekanfa de Sarah. He's lying right now in the arms of his wife, Sarah, for Kama'ayin Elaboration. And Sarah is being Ma'ayin right now in Avraham Avinu's head. Amalei. So Rabbanah told Eliezer Avid Avraham, Zil Emole Bano Koyabova. I don't have an appointment, but go tell Avram Avinu that Bana is waiting to meet him. Amalei. So Eliezer the Avram goes to Avram Avinu and he says, Avram, Bana is waiting for you. So he said, Rael, tell him to come in. And then he bavarned something. He said that even though right now I'm lying in the arms of my wife and maybe it's like a little inappropriate for a stranger, Rabbanah, to walk in, but he said, "Made the idea the Yetzibai Amaleka." Rabbanah knows that there's no Yetzahara in the other world, and as a result, he's not going to interpret this in any way other than something very mystical like this. I don't have to be concerned. No. So the Gemara says, "Ayel, he came. Ayin, he was Ma'ayin. He wanted to see what exactly all the parameters of Gemara's Hamachpelua were Avram, and really Yitzchak and Yaakov were buried as well. Vinafek, and he left. Okay, so he left the Ma'ara where the Avos were, and now he's moving along Gemara's Hamachpelua." So who else is buried in Maros HaMachpelo? Adam Arish, Adam and Chava. So came up to Maros Adam Arishan. When it came to the Maros Adam Arishan, Yotza Baskel Amr, a Baskel came out and said, Nistakalto b'dmus diyukni. You already looked at d'mus diyukni, b'dyukni atzma al tistakal. So you could look at the d'mus, something that's somewhat comparable to diyukni shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or b'dyukni Adam Arishan, that you're not allowed to look at. But Rabbana said, if I'm not going to look at Adam Arishan, how am I going to do my job? Habi'ino v'tziyune maroso. I have to be mitzayin tomorrow. So the Baskel said, k'midas ha-chitzoyno, kach midas ha-pnimo. That really, the same measurements of the chitzoyno of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, those are the measurements of Adam Arishan, so whatever you did there, you could do here. The Gemara says, Zulaman, damash tei batim, zulamayla mizu. According to the Madama that says, the Maros HaMachpelah was two batim, one on top of the other. What did the Baskel say? So the Rashbam says the rest of the story is Gemara Mesachtes Erevin, where the Gemara brings the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel why the Maros HaMachpelah was called the Maros HaMachpelah. So according to one pshat, it was Machpelah because there was a Pnimis and a Chitzoyna. According to another pshat, the way the Maros HaMachpelah was situated was Shnei Batim Zula Maila Mizu. So according to the Mandama that says there is Shnei Batim Zula Maila Mizu, so what was the Baskel? The Baskel said, Kemidas El Yoyna Kach Midas HaTachtoyna. Again, you don't have to measure again, because whatever you figured out the first time, that's what you can now cut and paste. You can apply that to other Marishan and Chava. So the Gemara says, Om Rabbanah. Rabbanah said after he walked out, he said, Nistakalti b'shnei akevav, that I was told not to look at other Marishan, but before I was told not to look, I peeked. And I saw his two calves, the doimit b'shnei galgalei chama, and it looked like literally two suns, almost two powerful rays of suns. That's how much Adam Arishan was glowing. The Gemara says on that note, Akol b'fnei Sarah, kikoyf b'fnei Adam. Every person compared to Sarah was like a monkey is compared to a human being. In other words, Sarah was so much more beautiful than everybody else that any person compared to Sarah was literally relative. A koyf b'fnei Adam. Sarah b'fnei Chava, however, as beautiful as Sarah was, Chava was more beautiful. And Sarah compared to Chava was kikoyf b'fnei Adam. Chava b'fnei Adam. So as beautiful as Chava was, Adam Rishon was much more. Was kikoyf b'fnei Adam. And Adam b'fnei Shechina, Adam compared to the Shechina, is kikoyf b'fnei Adam. On that note, Shufr the Rav Kahana was me'en Shufr the Rav Avo. The beauty of Rav Kahana was me'en the beauty of Rav Avo. Shufr the Rav Avo is me'en Shufr the Yaakov Avinu. The Shufr of Rav Avo is me'en the Shufr of Yaakov Avinu. Shufr the Yaakov Avinu me'en Shufr Adam Arishan. And the Shufr of Yaakov Avinu is me'en the Shufr of Adam Arishan. So all these Gemaras that we just learned right now, also, Bez Hashem, over the years, we've talked a lot about, but just one thing that I think is kedai to mention, and that is, there's a big tumult in the poskim whether kivrei tzadikim are metama or kivrei tzadikim are not metama. So if you're a kohen and you want to go to the Maros HaMachpelah, if you're a kohen and you want to go to Meiron, to Davin by Reb Shimon bar Yochai, you want to go to the Beis HaKfaris, Chveis Mishda Arizal. So kivrei tzadikim, are they metama or are they not metama? And this is one of the age-old questions that has been discussed by the great scholars of previous generation, Befrat, when Yidden started making Aliyah, they started going to Eretz Yisrael. This became a big issue because you had the Kivrei Tzadikim of Mamish, the beginning of time. And the question was, could Kehanim be Metama or could Kehanim not be Metama? This Gemara that we just learned now is maybe the strongest argument for Kivrei Tzadikim being Metama. Because the Gemara says, Rabbat Noah was Mitzayim Marasa, and it was being Mitzayim the Maros HaMachpelah. Why was he being Mitzayim the Maros HaMachpelah? Who's buried in the Maros HaMachpelah? Right? It's Tavos HaKadoshim, it's Adam Arishan. So what are you worried about? They're Kivrei Tzadikim, right? And Afal Pi Ken Yisni, the Rabbat Noah was being Mitzayim. This is a great Sakasha. It's interesting, there's a tshuva from the Minchas Aluza, where the Minchas Aluza made the case very, very stark for Kivrei Tzadikim not being Matana. Obviously, ask your local rabbi. And there's a very, very similar tshuva from the Avnei Nezer. So this came from the world of Minkach and the world of Sachachov. The Shneim Nischavnu L'Dover Echa. They both said a Chiddush Noir in the tshuva. They said, L'Oilom Kivrei Tzadikim are not Matana. So why was Rabbanah being Matzayim Marasa? He said, because the Gemara says that the head of Esav was buried in the Ma'ar Samachpelah. And the reason there's Tumah in the Ma'ar Samachpelah is not because of the Tzadikim, but rather it's because of Rosh Hashanah Esav. Now, when you work through the Gemara, maybe it's a little bit hard, because you see, he was trying to figure out the Ma'ar of first the Avis, and then Adam Arishin, Kimidas Achitzayna, Kachmidas Hapnimis, etc., etc. But either way, two G'dayla Yoylam said, and this is a Chiddush LaHalacha, that Pshad in this Gemara is based on Rosh Yishel Esav. Either way, Zakti Gemara Vaita. Hu Am Gusha, there was a magician, like a sorcerer, Davichotit Shitri. So this person would somehow figure out a way to bring up these dead bodies, and he would remove their clothing from them. So it sounds like he was after their clothing. That's what he wanted. And he would steal their clothing. So he came to the Ma'ar Rav Tuvi Bar Masna, and he starts doing his hibi-jibi, and he realized that he was starting up with the wrong person. Rav Tuvi Bar Masna chapped him. He grabbed him by his beard, and he wouldn't leave go. Asa Abaya. So Abaya got involved, Amalei, and he told him, "B'matusa minoch shafke." I'm asking you, please, Rav Tuvi Bar Masna, please leave go of this Amgushi's beard. Lashon Achriti, the next year, Hadar Asna, this person went and he did it again. And again, Tafsi Bedikne, Rav Tuvi Bar Masna chapped onto his beard. So the Gemara says, Asa Abaya, Abaya came again, and he said, please leave go. But this time already, Lo Shafke. He says, no, I did this the first time, now he's going to do it again. He didn't leave him at the icy misper of a Gazi Ledikne. They had to bring a scissor, they literally had to bring a shaver, they had to cut his beard off, and that was the only way this person was able to go free, because if he was going to go with his beard, he wasn't going to go anywhere. There was a person that told his children, this was on his deathbed, he said, I have a chavis of offer, and I want to leave it over. I want to bequeath it to one of my sons. I have a chavis, a barrel of bones, I'm leaving it over to one of my sons. And he said, I have a chavis of katan, I'm leaving that to one of my sons as well. So the Gemara said, have a yodi, my karmelu. No one really knew it he was talking about, because as far as they knew, there was no chavis of offer, there was no chavis of bones, there was no chavis of katan. So they were trying to interpret what he meant. So the Gemara says, also the Rabbanah. Again, he's the title of the daf. So they went to Rabbanah. Amalhu Rabbanah told him, said, tell me, Islahu Ara, does your father have land? Amalhu in. He said, yeah. Islahu Chevasa, does he have animals? In. Islahu Bestarki, does he have blankets? In. He said, Ihachi, Ihachi, Kamalhu. That's what he was saying. Meaning, when he said the Chavis of Ara, what he meant was the land. And when he said the chavis of bones, he was referring to the animals that have bones. And when he said the chavis of katan, he was referring to these quilts, he was referring to these bistarki, these blankets. Ahu gavra de shamalu de visu, there was a person who heard his wife, the ka'amr labarta, who told his daughter, amai loitznias b'isura, because I know you're doing averis. So she was noyefes, she was doing averis, gilei arayis. Said, but why are you not a little bit more sneeistic about it? Meaning, why are you being so open about it? Hach itza, she says, you think I'm any better than you? I'm not better than you. I'm involved in the same things. In fact, asar ibni isla, I have 10 sons, v'lesli me'avuch elachad, and only one of those 10 sons is from your father. Either way, this husband overhears this conversation, and he just found out the 9 of his children were really not his children. So the Gemara says, Kishachiv, when he was lying on his deathbed, Amalahus, he said as follows, Kol nichsi l'chad bara. He said, I want all my possessions to go to one child. Now, why did he want it to go to one child? Because he chapped. He only had one real child. So he didn't want the other 9 sons that are not his to partake in the sirusha. Now, the problem is he didn't know which child it was. But, you know, he was hoping that he's going to be very vague. He's going to just leave it open-ended, and hopefully they're going to figure it out. So the Gemara says, L'yadi l'hai minayu, but no one knew, like, which son you're supposed to give it to. So the Gemara says, also l'kame the Rabbana. So they came to Rabbana. Amalus, he told them, Zilu chavuto kiver davuchai. He said that all 10 of you should go hit the caver of your father. And I think if you hit him hard enough, at some point he's going to get up, and he's going to reveal to you who the son that he wanted to give it to. So the Gemara says, Shafku Azlukulu, they all went and they hit. Abahu Debre, the one that was the real son, Ava, that one, loy azal. He didn't go. Amalahu, Rabbanah, told them, kuli nichsi dahai. All the nechasim belong to that person. Now, this is an interesting story. The reason it's interesting is because the child himself didn't know that he wasn't the son. But there was some innate sensitivity that the child had to his father that he would not go hit the father. I mean, this is a little bit similar to Shlomo HaMelech's, right, split the baby in half. But it's different because over there, he knew the real mother was not going to allow it to happen. Over here, the child didn't chap that he's the child. And afilu hachi, just based on some subconscious, something that he had deep in his soul, some connection, he knew that this wasn't something that he was able to do. So either way, Rabbanah just paskin, the very big chiddush lahalacha, right? To talk in mamalushin. He basically gave all the nechasim to this one child based on some very speculative, seemingly unsubstantiated means of evidence that this child wouldn't hit the father, it's a raya that he must be the right child. Now, we know in our world, when it comes to dinei mamon, is that klal gadol v'din, hamotzei mechaverei olav raya. But it seems that this was true in the secular world as well. And word got out that Rabbanah just took this big Yerusha and he gave it to this one child based on some very interesante way of going about things. The Gemara says, azlu achlu kurtze be'malka. They went and they were malshin to the melech and they said what Rabbanah did. Amri, they said, ikon gavre chad b'yudai, there's a Jew, he takes money away from people without any edim, in fact, without any proof, without any normal valid evidence. The Gemara says, Asu, they brought Rabbanah, and Chavshu, they incarcerated him. They locked him up. The Gemara says, Asu de Visu, so his wife, Rabbanah's, went to the judges and she schemed a mahalach to try to get her husband released. Amrulu, she said the following. Avdachad Havali said, I had an eved. Paskulareshe, people came, they chopped his head off. Upashkula mishre, and they removed his skin. Fa'achlu bisre, and they ate his flesh. Vekamalu be maya, and then they took his skin, and they made like a cask out of it, and they filled it up with water. Umashkibe v'chavraya, and they're drinking it, and they give it to their friends to drink. V'lekoyov lidme, and they didn't pay me for this. I mean, they took my eved, they're not paying me. V'loy agre, they're not even renting it. Either way, she comes and she tells the judges, this is what's going on. So they listen to her, like, yadi maika amrulu. No one had any idea what they were talking about. Amri, so they said, nesi l'chakima de Yehudai v'leimu. Who's the wisest Jew? We want him to come. He's going to be the poisach haloimus over here. He's going to be able to figure out what exactly she means. The Gemara says, they say, you want to know the wisest Jew? He's in a Beis Asurim right now. Asu, Karyu, the Rabbanah. So they went and they brought Rabbanah. Amr Luhu, Rabbanah came. He says, oh, it's very posh what's going on over here. Zarnuka Amr Luhu. What she was talking about was a flask of skin. So what does that mean? So if you look at the Rashbam, three lines from the bottom, the Kach Amr, this is what she was saying. Tiyosh Hayali, I had a goat, okay, not an Evid, because Lumi Meni, they stole it from me, V'shachtu, they shechted it, V'achlu as ha-basar, U'min ha-ar, and from the skin, and the leather, Asu Chemas, they made a flask, V'shoyim b'maymayim, and they're taking water from V'shoyim, and they're drinking. This was the Chachma Rabbanah, and they were very, very impressed. Amri, they said, Hoyo v'chakim kulehai, being that you're so wise, leisnev abav v'nidein dina. Says, why don't you come join our Besdin? Meaning, we have our Sanhedrin. Why don't you come and become a member, become a judge in our courts? So he said, no problem, I'm going to come. So the Gemara says, Rabbanah came, Chaza, he saw, Daviksiv, it said, Ba'abula, it said, like, on the gate where you enter the courthouse, the following. It said, Kol Dayan, the Miskari Ladin, Loishme Dayan. Any Dayan that's ever been summoned to court is not a Dayan. Meaning, once a person has been summoned, he's been sued, like if there's like an outstanding lawsuit, you're disqualified from being a judge. Amaluhu. So Rabbanah turns to all the Chachamim and he tells him, Elamiyatas, let me ask you a question. Also, in the Shmei Alma, Umazmin Ladina, Pasle? How could that be? Meaning, you have a dayan who is about to rule in an unfavorable way to you. You know what you're going to do? You're going to drop a lawsuit on him. Oh, he's a dayan that has a pending lawsuit, and now he's suddenly disqualified. It can't be. So he told him, you have to tweak it a little bit. This is what it should say. Elakol dayan de miskari ladin umafkin miname amoyna. Oh, a person that was summoned to court. And they schlepped money out of him. Bedin, meaning he was found to be guilty, that lavshmei dayan. So what they heard, they said, you know, this rabbi is making sense. So they went and they added a little bit of inscription on the gate. It said as follows, that brung, meaning what did it say initially, any dayan that was sent to court was slapped down with a lawsuit, can't pass kinshailas. But then there was a little asterisk. It said, Brum, you should know, Sabi Diuda Amri, the elder Jews say that Kol Dayan, the Miskari Ladin, Umafkin, Minema Minor Bidin Lav Shmei Dayan. So it was like a little asterisk, a little commentary that this is what it says, but at the same time, you should know that's not what the rabbis say. Either way, Chaza, he continued and he saw the Haviksiv, it said as follows, Beroish Kol Moisa Anodam. That at the top, at the head of all death is me, blood. Now this is related to an ancient belief that people used to die because they had too much blood, which is why a very, very popular form of medication was Hakazas Adam, which is bloodletting. So the understanding and the premise was that a person has too much blood, so what do? You remove some of the blood. Now that you remove some of the blood, this person is going to be able to function. And this is what it said, Beroish kol Musa anodam. And then it said, Beroish kol Chayin anochemar. That at the head of all life is one. So basically, life and death, in a nutshell, you have too much blood, you're going to die, and if you drink enough wine, you're going to live. That's really what it said. So Rabbanot turned to them, he said, could that be Elamiyat? Let me ask you a question. If somebody falls off a roof and he dies, somebody falls off a dekel and he dies, you're going to say he died because he had too much blood? I mean, let's be honest, that can't be. Vesu, and not just that, man the darkilamim, someone the Rachman of the son is holding by dying, all you have to do is make sure that he has enough wine and he's going to live. Can't be, right? So Rabbanot said, you have to tweak. This is what it's supposed to say. Alahachi ba'il amichtam. Beroish kol marin, not at the head of all death, but at the head of all disease, of all machlis, anah dam, is too much dam. And beroish kol asfon, and at the head of all refuas, is anah chemar, is wine, and kasfu hachi. So what they did was, again, they didn't cross out what they had already written, but they added this little asterisk, and they said that even though the way it's written now, it sounds like that all death is related to too much blood, and all life is related to wine. Bram, Sabit Yuda, Amri, the Chachamim of the Jews say that that's not the way it works. Barad, Beroish kol Marin, Ano Adam, you'll find me blood, and Beroish kol Asfin, Ano Chemar. Ba'asar, the less Chamar, it's only in a place where there's no wine, that Taman Mitfu Sam, that you have to have medication. But if you have wine, you're not going to need any medication. The Gemara says, Ksiv, it says, a pischa de kaputkia. So Rashbam says that this last line that we're going to learn is completely unrelated to the sugi of Rabbanah and anything that we learned about, but we're talking about things that were written on gates. So me'inyan le'inyan, by the entranceway of kaputkia, it said, anbak, anbag, and antal. So what are these things? These are all shiurim. That's what they are, different shiurim that you find. And this is what it said at the entranceway of Kaputkia. The Rashbam says that really all three of these names represented the same share. It's all the same shir. If somebody says, I'm going to sell you an ampak of something, or an ambag of something, an antal of something, you should know it's all one and the same. Ve'ezeu antal, what is that shir? Zeu revi'a shel Torah. It is what we know in the Torah as the Revius exhale. So, just to end, a very light, quick, short daf tucked away in a very not light, not quick, very intense perek, Cheskes Abatim, with two ha'aris. So, the first ha'aris, going back to the beginning of the daf, where the Gemara discussed, V'oitzem einov mirois bera. Yishaya Novi talked about the madrega of someone that is nizer in Shmir Seinayim, that he doesn't look at something that he's not supposed to look at. And Rabbi Barabba teached, he said, Zeh, it's referring specifically to a person, She'ein mistakel benoshim, who does not look at the noshim, B'shosh ha'im des alakvisa, while they're washing their clothing. At that point, the women tend to be in a compromised position from a tzniyus perspective, and if someone is an oitzem einov merois birah, it's a chashivas. But the Gemara said, I don't understand. Heichidami, meaning, more specifically, this person that has this temptation maybe to look and he doesn't look, that Yeshaya Novi prays, what were the specifics? Meaning, if this person didn't necessarily have to even be in this matz of Nisayan, if he wanted to go another way, he could have gone another way, then Rashahu, then he's a Rasha. Meaning, even if he's miskaber on his Yetzirah, he's still a Rasha, because who asked you to put yourself in a matzav of Nisayin? You put yourself in a matzav of Nisayin, and then you overcome your Nisayin. We're going to give you praise, we're going to sing your accolades. No, you're a Rasha for putting yourself in that situation. Elamai, there was no Dark Achrina, so what was he supposed to do? Wasn't he an Einus? Gemara says, it's talking about where there was no Dark Achrina, Vafilu Wachi, there is an Indian, you could be more careful, less careful, and Yeshaya Hanavi is praising the person that's a little bit more careful. But one thing you see from here, that it's not okay for a person to put himself in a situation where there may be a Nisayan, specifically in this area of histaklus barayas or arayas in general, and he can't make a cheshbin that I'm going to be okay, I'll be an oitzim ein of mirois bera. Ibit the ika darka achrina, says the Gemara, this person is really a Rasha. There's a Gemara in Mesechtes Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Rab Chanina and Rab Yoinus and Avika Azli Be'orcha. Rab Chanina and Rab Yoinus, they were once traveling together. They were walking down the road. Mati Lahanu Trei Shvili. And they came to a fork in the road. Meaning, they were able to go right, they were able to go left. Now it seems that whether they went right or left, they were going to end up in their destination. But at the same time, they had Shnei Shvilim, there were two paths that they were able to take. Chad Patsi Apiskala Avoidus Kechavim. One of these paths was going to pass a Beis Avoidus Zara. The Chad Patsi Apiskala Beis Zoynis, and the other one was going to pass a Beis Zoynis. So one told his friend, Nezal Apiskala Avoidus Kechavim. I think the appropriate thing to do is to go by the path that's going to force us to pass the Beis Avodah Zarah. Why? The Nachas Yitzre. Because we know that the Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle in the beginning of Ayasheni, in the times of Ezra, they already were poyel that they shechted the Yitzar of Avodah Zarah. So there's no Yitzar of Avodah Zarah. If there's no Yitzar of Avodah Zarah, so we have nothing to worry about. What? You're going to feel this temptation to walk into a Beis Avodah Zarah? It's not going to happen. There are no such Nisyonis anymore. So I think it makes more sense. So the other one said, I think to the contrary, I think we should pass the Beis Zoynis. The nichbe liyitzrin, and let's overcome our yetzahara. Unikabel agro. It's like this will get schar. We're not going to get schar for passing the Beis Avodah Zarah and not walking in, but we will get schar for passing the Beis Zoynis and not walking in. Either way, they dueled it out a little bit and they decided they're going to go past the Beis Zoynis. So the Gemara says, Kimatu Hassam, when they passed the Beis Zoynis, Chazinu Lezoynis, they saw the Zoynis, Iskenu Mikamayu, and they saw that the Zoynis, although they were soliciting every person that would walk by, but not these two tzaddikim. Amale, so the one that said, let's go by the Beis Avodah Zarah, told his friend, Minalacha, meaning it seems like you knew that this was going to somehow play itself out the right way. How did you know it? Amale, he told him, I know from a pasuk in Mishlei, Mezima Tishma Alecha, Tfuna Sitz Nereka Ayin Sham. The bottom line is, in this Gemara, it's Mavur, that there was a machlokes amayram lechatchila, Rab Chanina, Rab Yoinus. We don't know who said what, but one held you go by the Beis Avodah Zarah, the other one held you go by the Beis Zoynis. What's the merit to go by the Beis Zoynis? There's going to be a taifa, there's going to be a yetzara, but we're going to overcome the yetzara, and like this, we're going to get schar. And at the end of the day, that prevailed, and it seemed like that was okay. So at first glance, I think, how does it stem with our Gemara? Our Gemara said, Ibe de ika darka achrina, Roshahu. He's a Rosh, even if he overcomes his Yetzara, which would seem to blatantly contradict this Gemara. Now, the truth is, B'muscho Rishon, it's not so shver. The reason it's not so shver is because they were stuck, right? They had to go right or left. They had Shnei Shvilim. And really, either way they went, it wasn't going to be good. Either way they were going to pass a Beis Avodah Zarah, or they were going to pass a Beis Zoynis. Now, to pass a Beis Zoynis is not good. Why? Because obviously they're putting themselves into a matzav of Nisayin. But to pass a Beis Avodah Zarah is also not good. And Tosfos brings, based on a pasuk, that you're not allowed to get too close to a Beis Avodah Zarah. So really, they had to pick their poison. Because they had to pick their poison, oh, so now it's already a bechin of Lekat Arkachrina, right? Should we go by the Beis Avodah Zarah, or should we go by the Beis Zoynis? But in our Gemara, where the person can go one way and there's no Nisayinis, and he decides to go in a way where there are going to be Nisayinis, so then there's already an Inyan that even if he overcomes his Yetzahara, Ibn Ikadark Achrina, Rasha Karasle. And that's the Chayre Pashab Shat, the way you're supposed to learn this Gemara. Stating that, it's Yadua in the Svarim HaKadoshim, that really this Inyan of putting yourself into a matziv of Nisayin and hoping to overcome it, obviously feeling that you're in a place that you could overcome it, actually is a Madrega in Avodas Hashem. And one maramakim to this is the Chedushei Arim. And this is in Parshas Vayeshev in the Sefer Lekutei Arim, where he says a davar nifla. We know that the pasuk says that Eshes Potifar was very much being ma'anis and soliciting Yosef HaTzadik to do an aveira. And the pasuk says, "Vayika yomaze, vayovay habaisa, lasis malachte." The Gemara says, "Masachta soita daf lamed vavam beis," that there was a machloikis Rabin Shmuel. Chad Amar once said that what did it mean, lasis malachte? It meant malachte mamish, whatever his job was. Every day he went to do his job. It was just another day. The Chad Amar, but the other one said, "What does it mean, lasis malachte? Lasis tzrochavimo." He was actually going to do an aveira. What happened? He saw dmust yuknoi shalaviv, and because he saw dmust yuknoi shalaviv like this, he was able to overcome his Yetzar. And everyone asked the same kasha, that why would either Rav or Shmuel be choshed Yosef HaTzadik of being lasis malachtoi to do an aver? In fact, the Pashup shot sounds like lasis malachtoi. We know he was an arbiter, he was a worker, he was an eved. That's what he was being forced to do. So it's Yosef Mestarber, the lasis malachtoi meant he was going to do what his job was, what he was obligated to do. Yet Chazal said, "From Achoykis Rav and Shmuel, that Chad Amar, one man Amar says no. He was actually going to do an aver." So the Chiddush Arim said, "That Avada, that's poshit. Then nobody is saying that Yosef HaTzadik was going to do the avera. So what then does it mean when the Gemara says Chad Amar, he was going last nistrochavim?" So Hebrew says, based on this Gemara, Masechtas Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Zayin, that you see Rav Chanin and Rav Yonis, and they debated hashkafically, is it better for a person to stay far away from a matzav of Nesayim? Or fakir, it's better to go into the matzav of Nesayim and know and do everything you can do to overcome the matzav of Nesayim. The mandama that said that what was Yosef HaTzadik going to do? He was going to do Malachde Mamish. He held there's no way in the world that Yosef HaTzadik was going anywhere near this Nesayim. No, he was an arbiter. He had to do what he had to do. Oh, but the man that said that it was Las Yisroch of Imo, said the Chetush Arim Avadit, didn't mean that he was literally going to do an Aver. Chalila, he would never go to do an Aver. So what does it mean that he was going Las Yisroch of Imo? Las Yisroch of Imo means he was going to put himself in the Nesayim. Ke'ilu, I want to be tempted right now, but I'm going to overcome my Nesayim. And he said that you find was the avoid of Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik was Masalsal Besaroi. He was Pitbait B'Yitzroi, because Yosef HaTzadik believed that that's the right way in Avodas Hashem. That the right way in Avodas Hashem is like that one mandamah in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, that fakared, you bring on the fight with the Yetzer and you're going to overcome the Yetzer. Who came to save him, said the Chiddush Arim? Yaakov Avinu. Why did Yaakov Avinu come to save him? He said, because Yaakov Avinu, his Avodah was a whole different Avodah. Yaakov Avinu was an Ishtam, he was Yosef Aholin, he was Bahaltin, like the Vilna Goyen said, Chzichnish Kuntzin. He has no problem being in a corner somewhere and doing that type of Avodah. Not like his father Avram, for sure not. And even not like Yitzchak. But his Avodah was to be an Ishtam Yosef Aholin. He sought Mustyuknoi Shalaviv, and that's why he was Nitzel. But Al-Koparim, you see, there is such an avoid. You see it in this Torah from the Chiddush Arim, that there's an Inyan that Tzadikim would sometimes, sounds like, even if there's a dark achrina, go into this matziv of Yetzirah. I'll tell you one interesting thing, and that is, so the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that it was Machloikis, Rav Chanina, and Rav Yonasan. Should you pass the base Avodah Zarah, or should you pass the base Zoynas? Which is the more appropriate place to go? On the one hand, there's no taiva for Avodah Zarah. There is a taiva for the Beis Zoynus. But on the other hand, you're going to get schar when you're going to overcome that Yetzar. Now, the Gemara doesn't say who said what. The Gemara doesn't say, did Reb Chanina hold you should pass the base of Avodah Zarah and Reb Yonis in the Beis Zoynus, or is it vice versa? But in our Chabura, we've mentioned many, many times that Reb Reuven Margolis, Hagoyin HaGadol, he wrote a sefer called Shem Oilam. And in Sefer Shem Oilam, he figures out every single time, Kemat, in Bavli, Yerushalmi, and Medrash, and all the Brises, with his Machloikis Amayram, and the Gemara says, Chad Omar, Chad Omar, but it's not clear who said what. So he was able to figure out who the Chad Omar was and who the Chad Omar was. This was his Avodah, something that he figured out. So on this Gemara right here, Masechtas Avodah Zarah, says Rav Reuven Margolis, it's very, very poshut who said what. The Gemara says as follows. The Gemara Psachim, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amid Alef. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Shloisha Machriz Aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al B'chol Yoyim. There are three people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Machriz. There's like a baskal, there's a ramkol about them every single day. Now this Machriz is in a very, very good way, in a very, very positive way. So, who are these three people that the Eibush says Machriz in a very positive way? Al Rava Kador Bekrach Ve'inoy Choyta. Someone that's a Bacher, and he lives in a city, in a very, very large city, where there's a lot of noshim, and he's able to overcome his yetzara. If an arman finds an aveda and he's very tempted to keep it, he returns it anyways. And a noshir gives a lot of tzedakah. He gives his maestress, but he does a betzina. It's like this, people don't know about it. So the Gemara says like this, there was a Tana that said over this member for Rabbi Yochanan in the presence of Rav Safra, and Savu upon of the Rav Safra. Rav Safra heard this, he was very, very happy. So it seems Rav Safra was a Ravok, and he was living in a big city, and he was a Nechaita, he was Rav Safra. So when he heard it, he was very excited. Amalei Rava, so Rava told him, Lav Kigoy Mar. We don't mean somebody like you. Eli, you know what we mean? Kigoyin Rav Chanin of Rav Oshia. We mean someone like Rav Chanin of Rav Oshia. What was the difference? You sit and learn. You're a bismedrish. You're in a big city. You're not a big city. You're in a teva. You're protected. So because you're in a bismedrish, you don't count. You don't have that nisayin. Rab Chanina, Rab Oshia, that's what I'm referring to. Why? Da'ava ushpechi, the Arad Yisrael, because they were sandlers. That's what they were. They used to sell shoes in Eretz Yisrael. Va'viyasvi b'shuk of the zoynus, and they would sit by the shuk of zoynus. Va'abdulu masani the zoynus, and they would make shoes for zoynus. And the zoynus would come, and they would look at them, but they would always look away, and they were never nichshol. They never looked at them, and kavachomi they never did an aver. So said Rava, you want to know who Rabbi Yochanan was referring to? Who's on this gevalda gemadrega? It's going Rabbi Chanina v'Rav Oshia. That is referring to people like Rabbi Chanina, people like Rabbi Oshia. They're on that madrega. Rab Chanina and Rab Oshia. Zok Ruf Margolis. You have a Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Zayin. We're Rab Chanina and Rab Yonis and we're once walking. And there was a debate. One said, pass the base Zoynis and be Mekabel Schar. The other said, no way, you're crazy. Go by the base in Avodah Zarah. Like, this is not going to be an Asayin. Who said what? He says, it's Pashut who said what. He have a Mufurish Gemara in Psachim, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, where Rab Chanina himself was a Ravok that lived in a Kfar and he sold shoes in a base Zoynis and he used to interact with them, but at the same time, he was able to be Nichshol. So says Ruf Margolis, this is easy. Also, Rabbi Margolis is a hard. This, if you know Shas and you're a Charif, is easy. But the other ones are impossible, like this one. But regardless, that's the first Ha'ara. The second Ha'ara is, just to end with something that's a little bit, Dover B'itay Matoyev. So the Gemara says the Rabbana, he entered the Ma'ara, the Marasa Machpelah, he was being Mitzayim Marasa. Mentioned during the daf, a little bit of a chiddush. You be mitzayim maros of kibrit tzadikim. What happened to kibrit tzadikim? And a metamim. This is one of the great sarayas that maybe kibrit tzadikim really are metamim. But regardless, so he comes and he checks the crypt of Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov, and then he comes to Adam Arishan, and a baskol came out, and the baskol said that you looked already at the must yukni or the bidyukni atzmi. That already you can look. You looked at the shufra of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's me ain't shufra, the Adam Arishan. But Adam Arishan shufra, that's already a very, very hoicha madrega. And that's not something that you're allowed to look at. But it seems that Rabbanah caught a glance. And the glance that he caught was at the heels of Adam Arishan. And he commented and he said, the heels of Adam Arishan are doimen l'shnei galgalei chama. They're compared to mamish, two orbs of sun, like these two very, very powerful rays of sun. So he looks at the heels and he realized that these are not pashta heels, but these heels are very, very heiliger heels. Now the truth is, the Zohar Kaddish talks about that cave of Adam Arishan, and Kamuvin, there's a lot of primi satira and the seida satira in the heels of Pshutai. We know that a person is made up of Ramach Evarim and Shasagidim. And if a person does a mitzvah with those Evarim, with the chitzoinius of those Avadim, of those Evarim, what it does is it causes an R in the pnimius of those Evarim. That's why the Gemara says, Imroya Adam She Yesurim Olav, Ba'an Olav, Yefash Vesh B'maisav, and it's Yidur from Chaim Velazhin. He said that, what does it mean, Yefash Vesh B'maisav? You should look at the Maisim associated with that Aver, where right now he's having issues, and it's Yitochin that there's a certain Pgam in that Aver, and it's being manifest itself Ba'ifel Chitzoini. If Adam Arishan's Akevav had an R, they were Kishnei Galgalei Chama. What Chazal are revealing to us, at least in Nigla, is that through mitzvahs that Adam Arishan did with his two heels, he was zeicha that there was a tremendous R that was shining forth in those hills. And the truth is, it's really davar be'itei matov, because this week's parashah is parashah's Ekev. And parashah's Ekev begins, v'hoya Ekev tishmon. And Ekev, says Rashi, is referring to mitzvah she'adam dosh behem ba'akevav. Mitzvah she'adam dosh behem ba'akevav. If a person does mitzvahs ba'akevav, what is he zoicha to? What is he zoicha to? There's an or. Adam Arishan, yeah, that's a tremendous, tremendous madrega. But if a person does this, he's going to be zoicha to an or that's going to shine forth from his akevav. Reb Chaim Volozhin in Nefesh HaChaim says that the pasuk says, Gam avdecha nizar bahem b'shamram ekev rav. So Reb Chaim Volozhin teaches in the end of Shaar Aleph. He says, Gam avdecha nizar bahem. The eved's had his shine. Nizar, not miloshin zihirus, but miloshin zoyar. That when you watch your Ekev and you do mitzvahs with your Ekev, it causes a shine in the Ekev, like you find by Adam Arishan, that he had over here this Indian of the Shnei Galgalei Chama. That's what his Ekevs looked like. You know, I have the schos to be here tonight at Bike for Chai, and I think if there's a mitzvah that it personifies this Indian of Adam Dosh Behem Ba'akovav, where you bike again and again, and mile after mile, the practice leading up, and everything is being done mamish l'shem mitzvah, l'shem shemayim, to help people, nitzrochim. This is a mitzvah she'adam dosh behem ba'akavav. I mean, you guys are thankfully wearing socks, but I would imagine that the shine that's coming from the akavav of the chever here, it's mamish, it's literally, it's the doimint l'shnei galgalei chamo, with all the mitzvahs and all the yegiyah, and it's not easy, and all the shvitzerai that goes in. I drove up here and it was hard. You know, a bike here, and there's no question that's what this is. Yeah, I'll just tell you one hergish. Parshas Lech Lecha begins Vayemer Shem Alavram Lech Lecha. Right, Lech Lecha. We're Elo Aris Asher Arek. So Rashi already brings Chazal that why did Hashem tell Avram Avinu where he was supposed to go? He said, "I want you to go Elo Aris Asher Arek." So Rashi says the reason he didn't tell him where to go was Litein Schara called Dibor V'Dibor. Like this, for every word that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu was going to get more schar. Of Medrash state and under Pshat, not Litein Schara called Dibor V'Dibor, but rather Litein Schar al Kol Psiyo Psiyo. For every step, because Hashem then tell Avram where he was going, he just said Lech Lecha. So Avram Avinu gets schar al kol psiyo psiyo. So I heard from Rabbi Avraham Yeshua Soloveitchik Shlita. He said over in the name of Rabbi Baruch Ber, that Rabbi Baruch Ber flake zogin, what's the pshat in the medrash? That because Hashem didn't tell Avram Avinu where to go, so now he gets schar al kol psiyo psiyo. What's the difference? If he would have told him where to go, you don't get schar al kol psiyo psiyo. So Rabbi Baruch Ber said kedarkei b'kodesh. He said if Hashem would have told Avram Avinu go to Eretz Amoriya, go to the Eretz Canaan, go to the mountain. So the mitzvah would have been go to the mountain. Going to the mountain would have been the Hechsher mitzvah. In other words, the key of mitzvah would have been when he arrived, where he was supposed to arrive, Haram Eriya. The going there, that's all the Hechsher mitzvah. But now that the Eibishter told Avram Avinu, Lech Lecha, Tos is Litein Tzchara Kol Psiyo Psiyo. Because you know what the mitzvah now is? The Chefts of the mitzvah is Lech Lecha. The Chefts of the mitzvah is go. And if the mitzvah is go, Tos is Litein Tzchara Kol Psiyo Psiyo. Because now the going is not a Hechsher mitzvah. Now the going is the Gufa mitzvah. So Baruch Be said, that's the shot in the Medrash. If Hashem would have told him where to go, then the halicha would have been a hechsher mitzvah. The mitzvah would have been when he arrived. Oh, but the mitzvah was lech lecha. El aretz asher echo. You go. Thus is litein schar al kol psiyo psiyo. So my hergish is that this is a chabura of chevra that are literally getting schar al kol psiyo psiyo. Bereisham, just want to give a shout out to Yedidi Ha'askin Ha'tzadik Ha'godol. I'm sorry, Reb Simcha Scholar, for all the incredible Avodas HaKodesh that he's been involved with already for decades, and literally a man whose legacy is just changing the Hashkof of Klal Yisrael when it comes to Chesed, and when it comes to Nitzrochim, when it comes to Tzedakah. Reb Simcha, the Eibishter Shebenchu, with continued Gesund and Hatzlacha in your tremendous Avodas HaKodesh, and you should all be gebenched to continue to do what you do. Litein schara kol psiyo psiyo. I'm telling you, shnei akevav that adoimim l'shnei galgalei chama. All the cholim should have refuas and yeshuas. Be'ez goel tzedek v'mher b'yameinu amen.